I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The president is exhibiting enormous patience here. Almost 6 weeks now, we've been under the ceasefire, and we went to it, obviously, with the intent that we can make a deal with the Iranians. But I think what their objective has been, one is to get the ceasefire to stop the war on the promise of a deal, and then two, to drag it out as much as possible to put as much political, economic pressure on the president. I think they're still about doing that now, as they're trying to negotiate through the Pakistanis with us, you know, that they're still interested in a deal. I don't believe it. I don't think they ever have been. I think it's mostly just about dragging this out so that the president at some point, because of that political economic pressure, just ends the campaign and says we then declares victory, as opposed to going back and finishing it. So where are we? I think we're going to go back and finish it.
Good. We need to go back and finish it. And I can't see Trump simply walking away. But he once again, he said, at an 11th hour, I decided once again we're going to hold off any new fighting because we maybe have a possibility of an agreement with Iran. I'm looking at a report from, this would be from Breitbart, but it copies what I've seen on AP and elsewhere. That would include CNN and Iran recently sent an updated peace proposal via the Pakistani mediators. It reportedly includes demands for reparations. You'd expect that. And no meaningful concessions on the country's illicit nuclear activity. That's a dead stop. But they think that's, again, going to buy them more time. And as you heard General Jack Keane retired saying, all they're looking for is to delay, and let the pressure build against the president that maybe he will look for a way to just simply walk away. I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, I'm convinced it will not happen. But an anonymous source is quoting those close to the Iranian news agency, Iran, in line with the recent practice of exchanging messages, has once again submitted its text in 14 points to the Pakistani mediator after making amends, saying we're very serious in determination to take compensation from the Americans. Oh, I have no doubt they're serious about that. But then they also said, quote, will not give up its decisive and principled stances on the issue of ending the recent U.S.-Israeli war, realizing the rights of the Iranian people, which includes uranium enrichment, that is their right to build a nuclear weapon. Of course, the Strait of Hormuz passage is still an issue. G7 finance ministers announcing earlier today in a joint statement, we'd like to see the Hormuz Strait be kept open for energy markets. It's stable markets would be a priority, not only for the region, but the broader global economy. Of course, the G7 involves seven major advanced economies: the U.S., Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United Kingdom. Officials from three Gulf countries attended today's meeting in Paris to discuss the crisis. And they say we're still looking at a way to help deal with the issue of the Hormuz Strait, but also with Iran. Trump stated today, if we reopen the attack, it will probably be sometime early next week. Now, Monday is Memorial Day. It could happen on that day. It might happen that night. It might happen the next day or the day after. But right now, once again, we are, in the words of the old, keeping our powder dry, but not for long. Welcome to the second hour, Larry Connors USA. We're here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. You get news, analysis, commentary, and education in each hour. In each hour, you leave with more information than you had when we began. And one of the issues we're going to discuss later is respect for others, their religion, and that would include their food. Now, with Jews, many of you would recognize kosher. You know what that means, or you have a general idea. Not all Jews practice kosher, but those that do want to maintain kosher. Muslims have halal, which is food that their religion permits them to eat. Not all of them practice halal either. But if they do practice it, and that is part of maintaining a relationship with Muslims, not jihadist, Islamist, I say we respect what their needs are at that point as well. No, I'm not selling out. I heard that murmuring. I'll give you more details on it before we wrap up today's program. In the meantime, we do need to have concern about Cuba having up to 300 drones just 98 miles from our shore. I want you to hear from a couple sources, one of them to begin with, a retired Marine, as to what that threat poses.
The drones are concerning, one sourced by both Russia and Iran. Would Cuba make the fundamental mistake of attacking the United States? It would be their doom. For Cuba, what Trump has done is put them into a position where this regime can fall without a shot fired. We saw Maduro in Venezuela go down. Now Iran, another source of financing and material support for Cuba. They are isolated. The best scenario for them is to play ball, or they will lose this regime.
I've actually seen pictures of what they look like, would have the capabilities of penetrating our air defense and actually hitting sovereign American territory. However, it's something you have to take seriously. You know that they have, and there's reports that Iranian, people have come to the country and are teaching them on their technology and how it succeeded in Iran in trying to maintain control of Hormuz and strike U.S. bases. So they're collaborating with our enemies, and they've been collaborating with our enemies, whether it's China or Russia, for decades. Remember that Russia taught Cubans how to spy through KGB training, and that China has been using Cuba as a spy base just 90 miles away.
Now, those are the words of a former Miami Mayor Suarez, Cuban descent. Yeah, they're helping our enemy, which is Cuba. He says, we need to be aware of it. And those drones do pose a real threat. What are we going to do about it? This is not a nuclear missile crisis like we had with the Soviet Union during the days of Cuba. Or is it? If they can attack our land with these drones, and if they do have a nuclear warhead on board one, you're right back to the Cuban missile crisis. I'm not saying we're there yet, but I'm saying them having those drones and knowing the capability to reach 1,000 miles or so, they're well inside our nation. And the White House counselor, Peter Navarro, pointing out, you got to keep in mind, when you're looking at Iran and its ballistic missiles or its drones, the same thing referenced Cuba, where do they get the rocket fuel and powering the drones? That would be China.
If you think about the Iran war right now, I don't know if your viewers know this, but every single ballistic missile Iran fires at Israel or Saudi or UAE or anybody in between, that's powered by Chinese rocket fuel, number one. Number two, every drone that delivers a strike across the Middle East, including an American military bases, those are components from where? Communist China. And number three, We pushed the Russians out of Afghanistan, then the Soviet Union, by sending the Taliban Stinger missiles, knock their aircraft out of the sky. China can do the same thing with a Stinger equivalent called MANPADS, okay? Yeah. Now, China, what we got out of that was they say they're not going to do any of that.
They say. In the meantime, Acting Attorney General Blanche is fighting to protect election integrity going into our midterms, and of course the election, general election. He says, just look back at what happened 2020.
Well, look, that's exactly what we're investigating right now. And by the way, what is not in dispute is that the whole Russia hoax, there was absolutely nothing to it. And so the question that the American people have to ask is, well, then why did they do it? Why did Comey say what he said? Why did the outgoing Obama administration do what they did? And that's what we're studying right now, because it did great damage to this country. It did great damage to President Trump's first term. And we want to understand why that happened, why there continued to be an effort by operatives in the government to go after President Trump while he was in office, and then, of course, over the past several years as well.
Do you believe it was a conspiracy against President Trump?
I mean, that's what we're looking at. And do you believe it? I mean, look at what happened. I mean, here there's no evidence of any Russia collusion at all. And yet there was a special counsel appointed, 2 years, the president's family, his entire administration was investigated. There was zero evidence of any Russia collusion.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. And so it should never happen in this country. And so we're going to get to the bottom of it.
And the Russian collusion story actually was a fabrication of the Hillary Clinton campaign using her campaign money and the Democrat National Committee money. And those views and points were expressed directly to Obama in the Oval Office by the CIA, with Attorney General Lynch there and Vice President Biden and then FBI Director Comey. And not one of them said, we need to put a stop to it. We need to let the American people. There is no Trump-Russian collusion. There's a Hillary Clinton-Russian collusion creation. Fiction. We have to, every day, make sure that we have good, free, fair elections. We have several primaries underway today, obviously, as you know, waiting on the votes to come in full. In Kentucky, Congressman Massey fighting for his political life, because Trump has said he's the worst GOP congressman in the U.S. And Trump was campaigning and endorsing Paxton over Cornyn in the Texas Senate race. But aside from the actual campaigning and what's done up front and what is legal operations, in L.A., the feds are focusing on vote buying. And how the bite and where they're going to find people to come vote and cast that vote now, and you'll make a little extra pocket change in the process when you go for voting.
I'm sure, like me, you've never seen a generic ballot test this bad for the Republican Party, and it keeps going down. But there are a couple of other numbers that really pop out to me that should scare the hell out of Republicans in Florida, in Texas, in California, in states where there's a lot of redistricting, and that's Hispanics. I mean, I will tell you, you couldn't talk to a Republican operative in just 18 months ago that said the tide has changed forever in American politics. So the Hispanics are breaking wildly towards the Republican, and they were. And Democrats were saying the same thing. Something has changed. It will forever change the future of politics. Well, as you and I know, the future of politics usually lasts about 6 months. Now, Hispanics, that's about as low a number as I've ever seen. Mitt Romney was eviscerated for getting 28% of the Hispanic vote. There was a huge postmortem. What do we do? What do we do? Right. Donald Trump is 8 points below Mitt Romney. And same thing with young voters. Young voters were breaking it. I thought astonishing numbers towards Donald Trump and the Republican Party. The same thing has happened with young voters. A radical break away from Donald Trump, from Republicans, and we're just seeing numbers that appear to be historic.
And again, that's MSNBC Joe Scarborough about the minority vote is shifting away from Trump, and as he said, that should be concerning. Well, I don't think they're worried about it on the Democrat side, because they are out buying votes, going into the tent camps around Los Angeles and elsewhere, getting people off the street, say, hey, we'll get you to the polls so you can vote, and we'll give you some money. That's under investigation right now, as I said. And among those would probably be some minority groups. But here you got Joe Scarborough saying the Republicans should be frightened about the minority vote. Look how Trump is losing the Hispanic vote. I don't see that, Joe. Depends upon which chart you're looking at. But I will take advantage of you opening the door, Joe, because let's point out how poorly organized and the lies being pushed by the left. And that biggest lie involves minority voters who are black. Oh, they're just too stupid to get an ID. You cannot have that. That's a Jim Crow law. You're trying to deny them a vote. Well, the granddaughter of the late Jesse Jackson, she's calling out the left for this lie, and she's putting it right back in their face.
The reality is this. Black people's voting is not in danger, and you know it's not. And you know it's not. I'm 63 years old. I've been voting since I was 18. I have never had a problem voting. Sitting up here manipulating the Voting Rights Act like something's getting ready to happen to our right to vote, when you know that's not true. So now you all gonna drag black people in here, definitely some senior citizens, and gonna have them come up here and talk about how they scared to vote, how this messed up the right to vote. Women need to vote. All that junk, when you know it's not true. Just like you sit up here and make like black people can't get IDs. Us requiring IDs to vote, it's going to stop black people from voting. Why black people ain't got IDs? See, you all get more and more ridiculous. To say that black people's voting is done by this Louisiana thing and Donald Trump and the Trump administration fighting for the 14th Amendment. Saying that amendment was for black people.
30 seconds.
Not for birthrights. Not for people to anchor themselves over here illegally. And they got y'all black people in here getting ready to talk against him.
I love it. I love it. That's Jessica Jackson pointing out blacks have IDs. They can get them. You're pushing a lie. But so many on the left buy it up. And they think the rest of the republic, the public, I should say, would buy it. Thank her for calling that out. Coming up, Russia's increasing attacks on Christians and houses of worship in Ukraine. You're going to hear from a man who's been at the front line. And then the pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell before we wrap up. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Boom, 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 boom. Gotta shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Russia state-run TASS news agency says that the nation is embarking on 2 days of a large-scale air, sea, terrestrial military exercise with Belarus to practice preparing to deploy nuclear forces in the event of an aggression threat. They're looking at 64,000 troops, 7,800 armament pieces, 200 missile launchers, 140 aircraft, 73 ships, 13 subs, 8 strategic nuclear deterrent subs, test firings of ballistic and cruise missiles across Russia, preparing for a deterrent threat. In the meantime, they continue to go after Ukraine, and they've been going after Christians, Christian churches. I have as a guest, the head of a group called the Ukraine Freedom Project. This is a humanitarian NGO headed up by Stephen Moore, former chief of staff and the U.S. House of Representatives. He's been in Ukraine most of the time since day five of the war. Steve, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Great to have you. Great to be here with you. I'm in Kyiv right now. You're speaking to me from Kyiv.
I was wondering about that because we were having a little trouble getting your signal right away, but I'm glad. So what's the situation in Kyiv right at this moment?
Well, I like the intro music. It's something about shoot them right down, which is what we're doing here in Kyiv because, you know, there's a lot of Russian drones and missiles that come here every day. And the Ukrainians are really good at shooting them down. They shoot down more than 90% of them. But some of them that get through hit churches. And this is not accidental. This is part of Putin's plan because Putin has shut down every church in occupied Ukraine he does not control. There is, you know, if you got Catholic listeners, there is not one Catholic priest left in occupied Ukraine. Hmm. Every church in occupied Ukraine is controlled by the Kremlin.
And the churches are functioning as basically humanitarian lifelines and supposedly shelter.
Oh, you would be amazed at the way the people of faith have stepped up here. I don't know if you're familiar with Samaritan's Purse. It's Franklin Graham's charity organization.
Right.
If they were a country, they would be the 20th largest donor of humanitarian aid to Ukraine. And they do this by organizing churches. So churches all over Ukraine are giving aid to people that have been abused terribly by the Russians. And listen, the Russians are doing terrible things to Christians. The Russians have killed as many as 80 pastors and priests. They've destroyed some 700 churches. And you know, this is a war on faith. The Soviet Union is still around. It's in the form of Putin, and they haven't changed their tactics.
And I want to stress your point that they're targeting, because we're not talking about the days of the Iraq War of sending a scud up, and we don't know where it falls, but we really don't care as long as it falls into some territory that we want to hit. And Russia certainly is firing missiles that are calibrated to a specific GPS location.
Oh, they're really good. The technology they have, you know, there's four countries in the world that are leading in the drone war. It's Russia, China, Iran, and Ukraine. We're not in that game. Our drones aren't up to the match. Aren't doing the job.
You're talking about the U.S.
The Russians.
You're talking about the U.S.
The U.S. Yeah. I'm talking about the U.S. drones. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the unfortunate thing is that drone warfare has escalated to a point where we have not been able to keep up because we're not involved over here. But the Russians, they can target this and target their drones and their missiles very well to the point where they will hit multiple churches on the same day in order to send a message.
Now, Russia could claim that, well, the fighters, the military, they're hiding in the midst of the civilians, as Hamas did in Gaza.
So Russia claims a lot of things. What Russia's doing is they are targeting civilian infrastructure. They're targeting apartment buildings. They're targeting the electrical substation down the street, so all your electricity goes out. And they're killing civilians. Now, what a lot of people in America don't know is that Ukrainians are fighting back. And right now, half a dozen Russian cities, including Moscow, have big plumes of black smoke coming out of them because the Ukrainians have targeted something like 40% of Russia's refining capacity. So Russia is a gas station with an army. And what's happening is the Ukrainians are taking out the gas stations so the army can do less.
I want to point out again to the public to remind them, the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union did include Ukraine. So there are a lot of families, brotherhood within Ukraine and Russia. They're basically fighting against each other or in some cases praying for each other.
Well, yeah, that is true. But I will say this. There is not a single person left in Ukraine who is pro-Russia. There was talk at the beginning of these Russian-speaking people, we need to help them and we need to liberate them. You know, my fiance is Ukrainian. She grew up 30 miles from the Russian border. She grew up speaking Russian. And she didn't want to be liberated. Nobody wanted to be, you know, liberated by Putin, because what that means when Putin liberates you, he comes in, destroys your town, takes over your church, and tortures people, tortures Christians. If you have a Bible study in your home in the places that Putin is liberated, then you are subject to 20 years in a Russian prison. It's not a nice place.
You're listening to Steve Moore, former chief of staff in the U.S. House of Congress, been in Ukraine since day five of the war, heads up his NGO, the Ukraine Freedom Project, that's delivered more than 250 tons of food to the areas. One other thing that has taken place, which has been overlooked and is lost, a lot of Ukrainian children were taken from their families and taken into Russia.
Yeah. Russia is probably the biggest trafficker of children in the world. So the Ukrainians have identified 20,000 children who were taken from Ukraine into Russia. Now, Putin's Minister for Child Welfare says that they have 730,000 children. And let me tell you why. Because they're bragging about that because Russia's birth rate is at a 200-year low, driven in part by one of the highest abortion rates in Europe. So when you're thinking about wars are fought over resources, and Russia has more land, more water, more gas, more oil, more gold, more diamonds, anything that you could want, except children. They're taking Ukraine's children to boost their birth rate. So it's about as nasty and evil as you can get. And I'll tell your listeners this. You can learn more about this. We have made a movie. It's called A Faith Under Siege. It's been on the Christian Broadcasting Network. It's been on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Angel Studios has picked up some of our content. Newsmax has shown it. a Faith Under Siege. If they just go to faithundersiege.com, they can learn more about this.
All right, Steve, I'm glad you pointed that out. In our last couple of minutes, when all of this, we're more than 4 years into this, when Russia thought they would just roll right over Ukraine and it'd be done 4 days at the max.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was there. I was in Kyiv when it was surrounded on three sides by Russians. I got there on day five of the war. The line to get out of Ukraine was a lot longer than the line to get in. And what you've seen is that the, you know, again, Kyiv was surrounded on three sides by Russians. Now the Russians are 10 hours away. You have to drive 10 hours to find a Russian. So the Ukrainians have done an incredible job with not only our military donations to them, but also they've got an amazing military defense tech over here, where they're, you know, their drones are among the best in the world. And and you know what we're finding in Iran right now is that the Russians are sending intelligence and drones to Iran to kill U.S. servicemen. Again, Putin is trying to kill U.S. servicemen by sending Iran weapons and intelligence on how to use them. And the Ukrainians are sending their defensive drones over there to stop it. So, you know, Vladimir Putin wants America to die.
Steve,
and he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Steve, before we let you go, I want to give you one more chance to restate where they would find that video.
Oh, yeah. It's a Faith Under Siege. Just go to faithundersiege.com. Or it's on Angel Studios. You can get on Newsmax streaming services. But it's Faith Under Siege, a Faith Under Siege.
All right, Steve, I want to thank you very much for your time, sir.
Listen, that's fun. Let's do it again.
And God bless your safety as well. Thank you very much. You bet.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Steve Moore, former chief of staff in the U.S. House of Congress, has been in Ukraine most of the time since day five of the war, and as you heard, reporting direct from Kyiv then. I did not know for sure he was going to be in Kyiv. I thought he might be, but I wasn't sure. I'm glad we got a great signal out of that for you to hear the discussion. Coming up, if we're going to talk about respect for religion, that includes various aspects, including food. Do you respect others' religion? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Change, change, change. 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 Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When I go to the cafeteria, most of the time I cannot eat the food because it is not halal. On days when I forget to bring lunch from home, it becomes really hard for me. I watch other students get their meals and eat together, but I cannot eat the same food. I start to feel very hungry, tired, and sometimes a little sad because I know I will have to stay hungry until I get home. It's hard to sit in class and focus when your stomach is empty. Sometimes I feel embarrassed and left out when I cannot eat like everyone else. I just want to feel included and have food that I am allowed to eat. My mom works very hard and leaves early in the morning, so she doesn't always have time to make lunch for me. When that happens and there is no halal food at school, I have no choice but to stay hungry.
Now that is a young Afghan student speaking to a Kent school board meeting in Washington, pleading for halal meals to be served beginning of next school year. Now, hold on. Don't rush forward and say, you eat what we give you. No, let's stop. You listen to what the young man said. A lot of what he said applies to every child, regardless of their religion or no religion. If they're going to school every day without something at a breakfast to begin with and not going to get anything at lunchtime, they're not going to focus well. They're not going to be good students. And in fact, they do feel either ostracized or then they begin to feel resentment. And that leads to hate. If you remember when we were in Afghanistan, one of the missions was to win the hearts and minds of the people. That was an effort. Not always successful because in the midst of the Afghan leaders was often young men who were basically trying to kill American servicemen during the night, but then they would come to the meeting during the day to act like they were with their elders. And maybe the elders knew some, maybe they didn't. But when you're respecting someone, that means you respect everything they stand for, unless their respect that or rather their intent would be to kill you and your family because you are different by religion or ethnicity. Now, I'm not going to talk about building respect in that case. I'm talking about fighting back against them. But out of the billions of Muslims in the world, maybe 1.2 billion are Islamists and jihadists. That's according to figures put out by different organizations, not mine, not something I made up. I don't know the background of that young man that was speaking, but you listen to his message, you should have concern. Because if you're going to disrespect him, if you're not going to provide an opportunity for him to eat a meal that would fit his religion, and that's where he's having to go to school, then you are going to create resent, hatred, and eventually maybe a mass shooting. Same thing for kosher meals for Jewish students. you get into kids and what they get served at the cafeteria. I mean, there were a lot of times I wanted pizza every day. And I didn't want any vegetables on my tray. Come on. That was not affecting my religion. Was it disrespectful for me? No. No, it wasn't. I just wasn't getting what I wanted. Now, again, halal foods is an Arabic word meaning permissible, lawful, in the context of food and drink. I'm looking at some of the rules of breaking it down. Most foods are considered halal, but then there are strict rules which are forbidden. There are meats, pork, blood, carnivorous animals, strictly forbidden. I want you to keep that in mind. Because pork also occurs in a hooved animal to Jewish kosher. They're the same. And then animals that are permissible, and they would accept beef. Kosher would not because it's a hooved animal. Lamb, it must be slaughtered in specific ways for halal, for those of practicing the Muslim religion. Kosher foods, referring to any food or beverage complying with strict dietary laws of Judaism. They're generally outlined in the Torah. They're not about health or nutrition, but religious observance. Land animals are allowed, must have split hooves and chew their cud. Permitted birds, domesticated food. Now, here's why I was talking about the difference in hooved animals. Kosher law forbids the mixing of meat and dairy products in any form. So you can have it, but it's got to be prepared properly. And again, the meat and poultry must be slaughtered in a highly specific, considered humane and ritual manner. There are some places that identify that they have kosher food when in fact they're not. That's showing disrespectful for the religion of Jews that are practicing kosher. Can we change every high school, or should we change every high school or cafeteria to make sure we provide kosher and halal food? If you have students in that body, generally they could bring their own meal, but in some cases they might not. So I think, yeah, you'd need to make some accommodations to some extent. But again, it's not like you're going to let the kids decide the meal every day, because you know what, again, many of them would go for pizza, with or without meat, with or without cheese, whatever. There's an air charter company that was taking on a deportation flight from Ireland, taking 24 men to Pakistan. Now, among these being deported, there were three or four that were considered high risk, but they'd been turned loose. They were being released from the Republic of Ireland, actually deported back to their native Pakistan. They were given a traditional full Irish breakfast, which included sausages and things of that nature, which violated halal. It was an inappropriate traditional breakfast provided for them on the plane. Now, you're going to hear some say, look, if we're deporting someone, we're going to serve them what we're going to serve them. They can eat it or not eat it. You can have that attitude. If we're deporting people from our nation, and we know that they practice halal or kosher, I think we should take that into consideration. Even if they came here illegally. Even if they've committed a crime, I'll go so far as to say that. And yes, even in the prisons. You don't win anyone over if you're going to disrespect their religion and their beliefs. But I will add again as a footnote, if their religion or belief is to kill you because you're not of their religion, their belief, then everything's out the window. There is no respect. Then, of course, you've got the issue of the transgender push for respect, that you must call me by my chosen pronoun or name. If you don't, you're disrespecting me. Now, I will agree that does amount to that. But I do not think we need to change that because it's not a religion. It's a cultural fad. But yet in the state of Colorado, listen to what they did.
How does that law force XXXY to use pronouns? Like in their advertising, in their corporate offices? What are you talking about? Like where do they have to use the prescribed pronouns?
If they are interacting with a customer of, and the customer says, this is my preferred name and these are my preferred pronouns, this is the way I want to be addressed, there is a legal obligation to do that. They're compelled to use those pronouns and those surnames under Colorado's law. That's compelled speech. And the real kicker is there are criminal penalties for it. You can have prison time, jail time for up to 4 months if you don't abide
by this. What is going on? How do I not know about this? How do I not know about this case?
That was Will Kane questioning a guest about Colorado did pass a law requiring businesses to use a customer's preferred name and pronouns, and refusing to comply could carry a criminal penalty 4 months in jail. Now, we're not talking about respecting their religion, their faith, their person in general, except that this is not the person they claim to be. And if a transgender walks in, was a man, has become a woman, and you refer to the customer as he, what would Mr. So-and-so, well, you have committed a crime in the state of Colorado. You could face 4 months in jail. I don't think that would stand up, but it's enough to cause a nuisance. Now, see, that is where when you try to show respect, folks are spitting back in your face, and they're turning around and using respect as a weapon against you. That is not what I meant by respecting others and their religion, including their food and the things that apply to their religion. That doesn't fit, nor does if their religion includes killing you because you don't agree with their religion. For some, I could sit here and say that all day long, and they still won't get it. Some will think, oh, Larry, you've sold out. And some will think, I'm not going to respect any of them for any religion, any food desire. Where's that going to get us either way? So let's say Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, decides to go down to Bama to talk to voters and make sure they get out the vote and so forth. And in fact, it's not a speculation. She did so. She's trying to stir up votes against conservatives. But there is a story behind her remarks.
To make sure that we all understand that Montgomery is not alone. That you all are not alone. And for all of those watching today, when they ask, what do we do in this moment? I feel helpless. What action can I take? It is time for the North to pull up to the South. It's time for New York to pull up to Alabama. It's time for all of us to come to Georgia, to Louisiana, to Tennessee, to Mississippi, and let them know exactly what they have on court with this injustice. They think they can draw us out of power. They do not know the sleeping giant that they just awakened.
Well, she did a good job arousing the crowd. But their reports, I have not seen pictures of it, but reports from different sources that she was delivering those remarks behind a bulletproof caging or shields. Again, here's a leftist that says you should not have a right to carry a gun, even if you're a law-abiding citizen. But she is worried that those remarks might get her killed. And she's preaching for the others who are not covered by any bulletproof shield. yell in support and shout for me. Thank goodness nothing violent happened against her or those attending. But it just reinforces where we are in this nation right now. I'm looking at a piece of the Federalist pointing out that, based on an article written by Hans Heinkel, is the way he points out, by Democrats' standards, Virginia redistricting lawyers should lose their jobs, their licenses, their life savings. And that's because those lawyers were coming up with gerrymandered maps that were not going to pass the test of the court. So they think, well, maybe what we need to do is go after these lawyers directly. Take away their livelihood. And then maybe even put them in jail. Yes, I think he's right. This is not just partisan hardball, but trying to normalize constitutional lawfare, justified by the left. Take away their jobs, their licenses, and life savings. Because why? Because they disagree with liberals. We began this segment talking about respect. Do I need to reemphasize it again here? Respect goes a long ways in at least beginning to establish a better relationship. It's not the culmination, but it could be a start. As always, I thank you for listening. Spread the word to your family and friends. And remember, you can pull up podcasts at any podcast location. Larry Connors USA. We'll be back here tomorrow, 6 to 8 on News Talk STL. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.